9 o'clock. Thanks for joining us, Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Most trusted name in automobiles. It's Monday, the good, the bad, the ugly. The good that the Buffs men's basketball team beat Florida on Friday. Bad, they lost to Marquette, but Marquette also has Final Four aspirations. And the Buffs lost a close game to the Golden Eagles on Sunday. Good, the Colorado women beat Kansas State. Now they take on potentially Caitlin Clark in Iowa in a rematch of last year's Sweet 16. Iowa has West Virginia tonight. Yeah.
You have to come up with a new plan, too. Holy Cross punched her in the face, and it didn't work.
With that big right cross, or that left, actually a left elbow, not necessarily a left or right cross, but a left elbow.
Yeah. Popped her good. Didn't help, though.
Sean Payton says it's a possibility the Broncos will trade up. Did see this come down in Pro Football Talk, that the Jets are getting offers for Zach Wilson. Does not say if the Broncos are one of those teams that are...
That's a lie.
...making an offer.
That's somebody in the Jets PR room saying, oh, yeah, we've had some calls. They aren't saying what the offers are.
So Robert Saleh, they're all at the owners' meeting today, wouldn't say, you know, what was going on with Wilson. Saleh said he would defer to GM Joe Douglas, who also, well, he's going to defer to him, who may end up deferring to Woody Johnson, the owner. Remember, Woody Johnson, not long ago, said, we need a backup quarterback. We didn't have one last year. And Wilson will make $5.5 million this season, fully guaranteed package at $5.5 million. So according to reports, mostly from Pro Football Talk, that... none of the offers have been good enough in the mind of the Jets to trade Zach Wilson at this point in time. All right, so 9:02, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Talk a little NBA. Nuggets have Memphis tonight. We'll do that coming up next segment. But want to get into some Rockies news since the opener's coming up on Thursday.
Got spring training, Rockies today.
That's right. So I'm sorry, what time is that today?
2 o'clock against the Brewers.
Okay, thank you. Kind of slipped my mind today.
A lot going on this last week.
A lot going on. So Rockies, Brewers, 2 o'clock today on the team. And then Nuggets, Memphis Grizzlies tonight at 6:30, by the way. So Ezekiel Tovar, he's doing really, really good today. He's one of the promising young shortstops in baseball, one of the Rockies' future stars. And he's also agreed to a 7-year, $63.5 million contract extension. He's a Gold Glove finalist last year as a rookie. So the contract's still pending the completion of a physical, according to the Denver Post. Rockies have not officially announced the deal. So keep him in Colorado through 2030. Includes a club option for 2031, and that would boost the contract's value to $84 million. So played in 153 games last year. That's really good. Slash line at .253, .287, .48, 15 home runs, 37 doubles, 4 triples, 73 ribbies, and 11 stolen bases. And his 37 doubles tied him with the Hall of Famer Todd Helton for the most by a rookie in franchise history. And the 73 ribbies, the fourth most by a rookie in franchise history, trailing, do you know who?
73 most by rookie. Tulo?
Okay, Tulo. 99.
Tulo's on the list. Okay.
99 and 07.
Rookies.
Mentioned his name previously.
Nolan Arenado?
No.
No, he didn't have a great rookie campaign offensively.
No. Mentioned his name when I was talking about doubles.
Todd Helton?
Todd Helton with 97 and 98.
Who else had a rookie year for us? One more.
Corner outfielder.
Charlie? Brad Hopp.
No, I'm sorry.
Matt Holliday.
No, not corner outfielder. Excuse me. Not corner outfielder. Third base, I believe.
Garrett Atkins.
Yes. No, he's always an outfielder. Garrett Atkins, 89. I think back. It's like, no, he was an outfielder. He was a third baseman.
He's a corner guy. Corner guy or somewhere.
So, yeah. So, is this premature?
At least there's... Just a shade over $9 million. It's not like a Chris Bryant level contract.
He's 22. And so it's... That's a good thing about this. They're signing him while he's young, not when he's 32.
Yeah, he's going to be the get the end of this contract and still be 29. You know what I mean? So they're going to have a chance to either bring him back or the this increases his trade value a little bit if you want to get to that side of it to where he's under team control for 7 years.
And that'd be attractive to somebody if it doesn't work out and you feel like you need to move on. You've got to make some moves, and that would be attractive to a team that would want him to play shortstop for.
I don't know if this team is in the place right now where, well, they have cornerstones. I really don't know that. Are they at a place to where you can start building around an Ezekiel Tovar for the next 5 years? I don't think so. They're just too stagnant. Who knows? Maybe this is the start.
I do like it in that they're inking him to a long-term deal where he'll be 29, where it's when he still maybe has his best baseball in front of him.
Yeah.
As opposed to a guy like Chris Bryant, whose probably best baseball has already been played. And you hopefully build around him. $63.5 million doesn't seems high for a guy that's still fairly young in his career, but
it's just a shade over $9 million per year. And if, like you said, if he reaches the full max potential of the contract, it's still 12, which is not awful. If you can extrapolate his production the next 7 years to where maybe he adds a little bit more pop and, you know, he's 20-80 and an average right around 260 to 280, steals some bases, gets on base at a little bit better than 287 to pop, hopefully.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be worth it.
But like defensively, he had 13 defensive runs saved, fourth among major league shortstops, second best in the National League. So offensively, contributed, good season.
Yeah.
Looking for better, obviously, but not horrible. And he, in terms of run prevention, he's a guy that factored into that in a big way. So I look at this and I initially I'm like, ah, it seems a little high for a guy that's 22, but he's also, last year playing 153 games. I feel like he got a lot of opportunities last year to mature. He stayed relatively healthy, knock on wood.
And mine is something that you said. It's not necessarily like a lot of money, and it's real early. He's been at the major league level for a year, and
it is a gamble.
Still had 166 strikeouts. Didn't look as overmatched as Brenton Doyle did at times, but he struck out more than Brenton Doyle did. It's a gamble, especially with plenty of arbitration years. Like, he's still got two pre-arb years, I think, left before this. So,
yes, that sounds right.
This 7-year extension only covers a potential free agent year with all the arbitration years. So I think it's a little soon. The money's not, I don't think it's going to be awful. It's a little soon for a kid that just turned 21 in August or 22 in August.
I think the approach from Bill Schmidt is we want to build around the young talent. And Tovar has already, in their mind, established himself as being the guy to help build around this team to build around him.
Yeah.
And they want him to stay there. I think they want to show their young guys, you go out, you put together some good numbers, you're going to be financially rewarded. I think that plays a role in this as well. But yeah, and at first blush, I'm like, wow, just seemed the number doesn't catch me as much as his age. But then also, I think, yeah, I'd rather see them invest in a young guy than a guy that's on the wrong side of 30, and a guy that's only going to get better.
There's definitely a lot worse contracts they've doled out here in the last 5 years.
Oh, there's.
At least they're signing him to play his natural position and not first base.
And not $182 million. And he played in 153 games last year.
He played a lot. He had nearly 600 at-bats.
I'm hoping Chris Bryant plays in that number of games by the time his contract's over, the way things are going right now.
Tovar had 581 at-bats last season. Chris Bryant has 460 as a Rocky in 2 years.
Yeah.
So
I'd rather see them use the money this way.
That's true. 100% agree.
I'd rather see them invest in youth, a guy that's only going to get better, a guy you can build around, than a player, like I said, as much, and I like Chris Bryant, but a guy that's best years are probably behind him.
Yeah.
A guy just can't stay on the field.
And a guy that at least seems to have a better handle on the minor league system because he was actually in it than Chris.
True.
Read a book or something. I don't know. I'm just kidding.
I had no idea what.
I didn't do my research.
What's going on with this team? What prospects look like? Yeah. Or were they any good? The Rockies in? They weren't good?
You didn't go to Baseball Reference once during your free agency to see where the win losses are at for this team?
The division standings?
Yeah.
What were you caught up doing, Chris? Didn't he play for the Giants?
Yeah, in the division. I mean,
weren't you in the division?
Hang the pennants in division order out there on the flagpole or the rope or whatever it is.
That Rockies.
Like, dang, that purple is always at the bottom. What's going on?
What's going on with that? Did he not pay any attention to that?
Apparently not.
I'm still that whole thing. I find very confusing and perplexing.
Purple, interesting. Is that TCU? No. It's not.
No. Also, the Rockies have added some depth to their bench. They did this yesterday. They acquired veteran outfielder first baseman Jake Cave from Philadelphia. So Jake Cave was 31, sixth-round pick of the Yankees back in 2011. Debuted with Minnesota in 2018, 5 seasons with the Twins as a reserve outfielder, where he slashed .235, .297, .441. He's hit 38 home runs in his career, 139 ribbies, and he was on the Phillies postseason roster last year. So Bradley Zimmer, who signed with the Rockies on a minor league deal, is not going to be on the opening day roster. The team released him. So,
that's too
bad. To be confused with Australian music great Nick Cave. This is Jake Cave. Does he have a red right hand? I don't know. Okay, for those of you that like Nick Cave, you might have found that entertaining. That would just be me at the moment.
When you can't break through Trevor Larnach, Max Kepler, Brent Rooker, Nick Gordon, it probably ain't for you, son.
Yeah.
You know?
Probably not.
You make a decent living and, you know, play a game for the rest of your life, but yes.
Also, the rotation's been set, by the way.
Oh.
Woo. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
A drum roll. Okay, who's going to be the starter?
Opening day, Kyle Freeland.
Ding, ding, ding.
Saw that on the interwebs.
Okay. So, who's going to be in the two spot in the rotation?
Does Armando Reynoso still have some arm talent left?
Don't think so.
David Need. Is he still kicking around?
No. No, it would not be David Need.
Who is? Would it be... I'm better than the other
team.
Guy.
Pitch for your team.
Oh, Cal Quantrill?
Cal Quantrill.
Is the number two?
Is your number? He's going to be the number two guy.
It's going to be a long summer. Then,
okay, who's third in the rotation? I think you were referencing.
Best guy in this trade.
You were
Gomber.
Be Austin Gomber.
Yeah, I had to remember his name.
You know, I'm not chopped liver, you know.
Yeah.
Until he was chopped liver. And
you're the
then,
best guy that throws with his left hand in that trade. You're right.
Yeah, he was totally correct. You're totally correct on that. Yeah. Best lefty in that deal with him and Nolan Arenado. And then who's after him? So it's Freeland, Quantrill, Gomber.
Lambert?
No,
he's not healthy.
No.
It's not Ryan Feltner, is it?
Ding, ding, ding. Ryan Feltner, the righty. God.
Oh, man.
So they'll be going left, right. And then who's your fifth guy?
Who's left? Jamie Moyer? Is he still kicking
around?
It's
not Jamie Moyer, moron. No, it's not Jamie Moyer.
I have no idea. I don't know who's left.
Skip, I'm ready to go. Yeah. I'm 85, but I'm full of piss and vinegar. Yeah. I've been playing catch at the nursing home.
I mean, top it out at 75, just like my prime. I have no idea who's the fifth guy. I'm out of guys.
His first name is the name of a state. Actually, two states. South and North.
Oh, Hudson. Dakota Hudson.
Dakota Hudson.
I was like, dude, Virginia?
That's... No. No?
I forget about the Dakotas, even though I lived in one of
Virginia
them
Virginia Hudson? No. No. And then Peter Lambert is kind of the sixth guy, if you will. And so Hudson's going to start against the Cubs on April 1st in Chicago.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah. Good time will be had by those drinking old style at Wrigley Field.
Daniel Swanson, or Dansby Swanson, and Bellinger, and all these other guys. That'll be a heck of a time.
All right, Jim and the Buckeye Boy. It's Monday, the good, the bad, the ugly. We're talking Rockies right now. You can text or call us, 970-242-1340. Saturday in that game against the Reds, Nolan Jones took the fastball to the knee. And fortunately just suffered a bruise, did not need x-rays. So he'd be ready to go for Thursday season opener. And felt like he could play today, actually. And so we'll see if he plays in the game against Milwaukee today at 2 o'clock here on the team. But kind of scary because he had to be helped off the field and then had to be carted to the Rockies clubhouse. He said, I thought it hit my kneecap and broke my kneecap because there are apparently nerves that run under your kneecap. And it hit a spot where my leg just shut down, and I couldn't feel my foot. And he wants to play today.
No. I'm Bud Black. I'm like, nope.
No, you're not.
No, you're not.
No, you're not.
Absolutely not. You know what, kid? You just want to go to Chicago right now. Just go hang out.
Just sit down.
Have some pizza. Just, you know.
Have a good time.
Chill out. Take the L right around town. We don't need you for this last week of spring training.
Also, the team reassigned left-hander Ty Block, former Regis Jesuit pitcher, right-hander John Curtis, and catcher Willie McIver to the minor league camp. Block could come back to the big league team, though, if he has a chance to make. Then he has a chance to make the roster. McIver played in Triple-A Albuquerque last season, still recovering from a right shoulder injury he suffered in spring training. So, it's the latest on the Rockies today. But that's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
You're 22, imagine $63.5 million. You're 22 years old.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. But I think in the case of Ezekiel Tovar, that's money invested in the right direction. At least even it makes sense to me that they would do that.
It's better, yeah. And it's better than some of the other deals they've put together.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, do we ever get a winner, by the way?
We did.
Okay, let's go ahead and celebrate our winner today.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
He's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Scott correctly guessing the year 2021. Jason guessed 9. The tournament's not quite that old. But... he may have misconstrued because 9 was the number of teams that got through as double-digit seeds in 2021. But we were looking for the year. Scott, first in the door, he gets a case of Coors the Banquet from our friends at High Country Beverage for the number game.
Well done, Scott. Well done.
Yes.
So you got a text from
a lot.
Our buddy Paul.
Yeah, the mayor.
The mayor of Montrose. Happy Monday. Remember when Gonzaga was a mid-major, Creighton, St. Peter's run 2 years ago? And many more examples. The tournament is an opportunity for these teams to grow, recruit, and become the new powerhouses. No change is needed. That's because Tom Izzo was like, oh, I think we need to look into this whole automatic burst for mid-majors, and I think we need to look at that. I don't know. I don't know if that's a good idea. Don't know. So we got one from Dylan today. Let's see. Let me give some music to go along with it. The good, the bad, the ugly. Start out with the good. The Avs' comeback yesterday was nuts.
Yeah, it was.
They're down 4 goals. You thought the Vancouver game on the road when they were down 3 goals in the second period. McKinnon just incredible. And Jonathan Drouin had a big game, couple goals yesterday. So the good was the Avs' comeback. The bad, the Ohtani situation, ugly. Stan Van Gundy's announcing.
I thought the old SVG was very good this week.
Yeah, I had no problem with him. No problem at all. You know, a guy who I kind of like Robbie Hummel.
Yeah.
I think he does a good job. I like him.
I didn't have a whole lot. The only thing that bothered me this weekend was the lady behind the table at the GCU Alabama game just screaming. Stop.
Stop it.
Somebody needs to move her.
Did you like the donut bracket that the guys did?
Yes.
I kind of like the donut bracket,
too. That was pretty
neat. Chuck was...
big fan.
Was aghast that Ernie was picking up donuts and just touching them. And
yep.
So what are you doing, man? Don't touch those.
I love Chuck.
I do, too. I love Chuck. I love their chemistry as a group.
Oh, yeah. So good.
I really do. Let's see.
Clark Kellogg fit in with them better this year, I think.
He did. Yeah, I think he lightened up.
He's starting to come around a little bit.
He kind of loosened up a little bit.
He's not old man Special K anymore. He's at least having a good time.
Yeah, he seemed like the donut thing. He was having fun with that.
Yeah.
From Phil, wife and I went to the Avs game Friday that we won a bracket blues. It was the wife's first time going to an NHL game, and she enjoyed it, and the seats were great. Thanks again for what you guys do. Well, thank you, Phil, for listening. We appreciate that.
Thanks.
Went from Taylor, good, the bad, the ugly, the good, the Ruben Sando that I got with my gift card at Wrigley Field. It was fantastic. Got the Ruben there at Wrigley Field. The bad, the Buffs lost to Marquette. The ugly, my pick of Auburn to win the championship. Just like
somebody else.
Who? Just like who? Who picked
thank
Auburn?
Thank you. Welcome. Welcome to the team.
It was not me.
I think Taylor also a Fruita guy, too. I think I saw him floating around one of my yearbooks.
Does he remember you, though?
I hope not.
Because most people don't seem to remember you.
Which is perfectly fine.
Let's see. From Brian, Fort Lewis College Raider. Happy Monday, fellas. I still have 13 of my 16, all 8 of the elite. On the social, Broncos announced new threads coming soon. Excited or scared? I'm excited. I'm looking. I'm more excited about it than you. You don't,
ambivalent, I guess. I don't have
curious to see where they go with the helmet, because the helmet is the starting point for anything you do with the uniform, in my opinion.
If they want to keep the snow cap helmet, I'd be down with that.
That'd be cool with that.
That's a very clean look.
I like that look.
White face mask, the old D. Yeah.
Yeah, I hope they do that.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I hope they go that direction. All right, 9:22, Jim along with the Buckeye boy today. And we'll take a break. Still have Wrigley Field Cutter Sports Trivia coming up. Also have Four Down Territory and This Day in Sports History. That's next on this Monday. The good, the bad, the ugly. Text or call us, 970-242-1340.
I'm the morning guy. I have a Facebook group, 16 members. Some call it a fan page. I don't know.
Oh, hell yeah.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 9:25. Surprisingly, played some Maiden earlier, but some, a little bit lighter stuff today, though. I mean,
Def Leppard in there.
Green Day. It's good. You did a good job today.
Yeah, mix it up a little bit.
Very good. All right, 9:25.
Out of like 580 bumper songs, you can never have too many, so I need to add some new ones.
Totally agree with you on that. All right, it's 9:25. Let's go ahead and do Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia today.
Let's.
We've got the music here.
Perfect.
I just decided
to
take care of it myself. All right, you can win a gift card to Wrigley Field, Grand Junction's original sports bar. Home of the 15-minute lunch guarantee. If you don't get your lunch in 15 minutes or less, you only pay half price at Wrigley Field, just east of Sam Saplesio Field on North Avenue. All right, the question today, it's a Rockies question, since Rockies are playing today on the team, 2 o'clock against Milwaukee. Here's the question. Once again, if you've won the last 2 weeks or earlier today, don't play. Who holds the Rockies' record for saves in a season?
Ooh.
No multiple choice, by the way, on this one. Who holds the Rockies' record for saves in a season? First correct answer wins. Gift card to Wrigley Field. Was it Taylor that enjoyed the Reuben? Very good. I know Thursday's Chicken Fried Steak Day, and it's absolutely phenomenal. So you don't want to miss that at Wrigley Field. Once again, the question, who holds the Rockies' record for saves in a season? So send your answer in now on the team line, 970-242-1340. And just like with the number game, you're qualified if you win today for the never-ending contest to win replacement of your air conditioner, your cooling system, or your home with Haining Home Services. It's about a $5,000 value. You must own your own home. For details on that, go to theteam1340.com. All right, one final time. Who holds the Rockies record for saves in a season?
I was going to throw out just some random names. I'm like, oh, that might actually be the guy.
Do you? Well, I do know who it is. It's on the rundown. Yeah. So,
but I was looking at the list of single season saves, the top 50. There's some guys on here that I'm like, I forgot that guy was a Rocky. For
really,
a while.
That guy,
John Axford. Yeah. Remember him?
Remember John Axford?
What, the mustache?
One time Milwaukee Brewer, yeah. Right? John Axford?
Mm-hmm.
Rex Brothers.
Yep, Rex Brother.
Dave Veers.
Mm-hmm. Justin Spire.
Obviously, we're saying all these names, which means that's not the correct answer. Jerry DePoto. DePoto on here a couple different times.
Mariners?
Yeah, went on
front office guy?
And then went on to the Angels, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so first correct answer wins today, 970-242-1340. All right, let's go ahead and dive into four down territory.
We're into four down territory on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
All right, first down, the NFL owners are meeting, and they have voted to approve a rule that bans the hip drop tackle. It will now result in a 15-yard penalty and an automatic first down. But according to NFL Network's Tom Pelissero, that the play will more likely result in fines than penalty flags next season. So the hip drop tackle, which at times has been hard to entirely define.
Yeah. Yeah, I still don't know exactly what it is.
Which is when a defender wraps up the offensive player and then twists or falls to the ground using his full body weight. The argument is that the risk of injury is much higher with the hip drop tackles than is the more standard tackling techniques. The league can point to, well, one injury, a high-profile one from last year, when Mark Andrews got tackled. The Ravens tight end got brought down by Bengals linebacker Logan Wilson, and that's how he sustained the injury. The problem is when the player kind of whips his legs as he's the tackler.
Yeah.
Throws his legs into the legs of the other player. That's in kind of takes his legs out from under him. That's where some of this happens. NFL Player Association, they've been adamant about being opposed to banning hip drop tackles. Now we'll see what happens. It seemed for a while there it was hard for them to get full clarification of what constitutes a hip drop tackle. Now I think we've got maybe some better clarity. I guess.
I guess, yeah. Sure. I don't know.
Okay, nothing like thinking you're getting out ahead of something. This is a second down, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And all you do is draw attention to something that people don't know anything about yet. Kim Mulkey, LSU coach, she commented on a Washington Post article the day after calling out the unnamed Washington Post reporter of a piece they reportedly been working on for 2 years. And it's probably going to drop during the NCAA tournament. Mulkey doubled down on her attacks, referring to the reporter as sleazy. Now, apparently the reporter was asking for Mulkey to respond to a series of questions. That's when Mulkey brought this up. I don't have time to answer your stupid questions. We're in the middle of the NCAA basketball tournament and all this. But during Sunday's post-game press conference following LSU's 83-56 win over Middle Tennessee State, which took a little while for the defending national champs to get going in that one, Mulkey was asked if the team's slow start was due to feeling distracted by the impending report. Mulkey said, "We're not going to let one sleazy reporter distract us from what we're trying to do. Absolutely not. My kids didn't even know what I said yesterday. The team's not involved in this. They were in shock when they saw that on the internet. Don't take that stuff to my team." But you're the one, Kim Mulkey, that brought it up. She's the one that mentioned this, calling it a hit piece. Said she's already hired a legal firm to sue the Washington Post for defamation. She also claimed she was not given enough time to respond to the reporting, though she did admit she'd been aware of it for 2 years.
And you made a great point, too, because I probably wouldn't read this article Now when it comes out. Now I want it.
Absolutely, I'm going to read this article.
Now I'm going to read this article just to see if it was worth all of this drama from Kim Mulkey.
How about report comes out, story comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Mulkey responds to allegations in report, refutes those. Reporter has to back up claims as opposed to, because you're right. If it just comes out, people are going to go, okay, I'll read that, I guess. I don't, whatever.
Like, you know, I got 10 minutes here and doing my business.
And you'll either feel like that it was a hit piece or not. And then Mulkey would have responded to it, which is typically how this stuff works.
But she did all this backwards. Now I really want to read the article.
Exactly. She was
not smart.
And some of this, she was upset on the piece that they did on Brian Kelly. Because apparently there was an article, which I forgot that there was a story about Brian Kelly and how much money he makes and how people that work for him are scraping by.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a $100 million football coach.
Let's not forget the men's basketball program there at LSU has had a little bit of an issue here the last couple of years.
Yep, absolutely.
So,
and let us not forget that
school.
The Kim Mulkey does quite nicely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's doing fine.
I just think all you did was you drew fire on yourself.
Yeah.
You drew attention to yourself on this, as opposed to article comes out. Hey, what she wrote in this, I believe it is a female reporter. What she said was wrong. Here's why it's wrong. And you move on from there.
Yeah.
Now it's like, oh, somebody's a little too sensitive about this. What's in this report, Kim?
Now I'm way more interested.
Oh, absolutely. I got to read it. There's no doubt I'm going to read it now. Or before I went, I might check it out. I don't know.
Eventually, but now I'm waiting.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the... Gotta come floating across like, yeah. Last time I wanted to read the WAPO, I have no idea.
Is she buying her gold LeMay jackets?
Yeah.
From some place that child labor is being used to make those gold LeMay jackets? I don't know.
Who knows? Third down. I mentioned this a little bit ago, but it was really cool to see DeBeck's own Brennan Rigsby run around.
That's cool.
43 minutes off the bench for Oregon in that double overtime game. Played a lot, mainly more defense. Took a couple shots. Didn't really get into the scorebook. He got a rebound, no points, no assists. But it was neat to see Brennan Rigsby run around. You hear that and be like, I know that he's from DeBeck. That's cool. I was texting people I knew who were watching that game. Like, oh, by the way, just in case you didn't know, this kid's
state
from
champion.
It's pretty neat.
For
yes,
Jake Aguera, who was, of course, the Fruita Monument boys basketball coach previously.
Yeah, very, very cool there. And then fourth down, Charles Barkley. Been pretty tame for the NCAA tournament until we got to Sunday night.
Yeah.
Talked about how good Alabama was. That was hard for him being an Auburn guy.
Oh, it was
and
tough.
Then he took a breath, then this.
Grand Canyon, that was the dumbest game of basketball I may have ever seen. Like, everybody went one-on-one. They missed, how many free throws?
They missed 17, I think it was 37. So they missed 14, 23 for 37.
But I'm not sure what they were doing offensively. I don't think they ran a play the entire second half.
I couldn't dissect one.
You know, Gino was doing, Gino said this was the craziest game. I said, if he mean dumb, that was some of the dumbest basketball I've ever seen grown college men. Sears was the only guy who played with complete.
What's that? He went on and on and on, too. It's like, five assists? It's like, you got a crack staff if they found five passes.
I do enjoy the new, Capital One commercial with the Magic Mart.
The Chuck Stop in the Magic Mart? Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
Where he's trying to buy stuff with his card. His lawyer. You're fine.
Oh, it's Phil Morris that played in Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Played the, the Cochran guy.
Yeah, the Cochran knockoff.
Played a version of OJ's attorney. Johnny Cochran.
Yep.
Phil Morris, whose dad was in Mission Impossible. And he played the son of his dad's character when they rebooted the Mission Impossible TV series.
Phil Morris. Know that.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Random crap.
Yeah.
Only I probably care about. I did think it was cool. this is, we're done with four down territory. I've seen Greg McDermott and Dane Altman. I referenced it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about Oregon and Brennan Rigsby.
Mm-hmm.
They were the two winningest coaches in Creighton history. And they met 14 times before, but obviously never until the, they never met in the NCAA basketball tournament before. Mm-hmm. But that was really cool that those two guys who have a ton of respect for each other, I thought that was a nice moment with those two.
They refused to schedule each other because they don't want to play against each other. And they had their retired AD of Creighton in the stands. And talk about a guy that is pretty comfortable in retirement. That guy's just sitting there like, yep, hired both these dudes.
Pretty smart guy.
He looks really relaxed.
Yeah. Made some good decisions during my time at Creighton.
They're pretty good there in the old Omaha area. Not too bad.
Not too bad. So, yeah, I just thought that was a cool story from the weekend with those two meeting this past Saturday. All right, 9:38, and it is time for This Day in Sports History.
That's the story of the greatest sport moment of all of history.
It's time to take a trip back in time. It's This Day in Sports History.
All right, go to 1934. Horton Smith wins the first Masters golf tournament by one stroke over Craig Wood. 1958, Sugar Ray Robinson regains the middleweight title for a record fifth time with a 15-round decision over Carmen Basilio. 1961, Cincinnati ends Ohio State's 32-game winning streak with a 70-65 win in the NCAA basketball championship. In the third-place game, St. Joe's beats Utah 127-120 in quadruple overtime. 1972, Bill Walton scores 24 points to lead UCLA to an 81-76 win over Florida State. And the NCAA basketball title, the Bruins finish 30-0 and increase their winning streak to 45 straight. Also on this day, 1972, Maryland beats Niagara 100-69 in the NIT championship, becoming the first team to score 100 points in the finals of that tournament. And that's a stay in sports history. All right, 9:39, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network online at theteam1340.com.
They're a lot of fun.
The Jim Davis Show.
They're idiots.
On Colorado's sports leader, the Team.
Welcome back, 9:42. Jim and the Buckeye Boy. What are they going to do? Another Iron Eagle movie, because I mean, we've had Maverick, Top Gun. Why not the B version?
We got a new Roadhouse
of Top Gun, which I've yet to watch. I watched the trailer. Looks pretty good.
Yeah.
It looks okay. I mean, I don't think it's going to be better than Roadhouse.
No, it's not.
Because you don't have Sam Elliott. You don't have a Sam Elliott character really in it.
You don't have Sam Elliott. You don't have, what's his... He just died, the pro wrestler. I lost his name. I'll have to find it.
Remember Kevin Teig that was in the show Emergency? He was always the good guy. He was one of the good guy paramedics. He was like the bad mob guy in that movie. Gyllenhaal looks, I mean, dude's ripped.
Yeah. Terry Funk.
Yeah. And then Conor McGregor's the bad guy in this, which he's the perfect bad guy. I just don't think it's going to have the same, I don't know. There was a goofiness about Roadhouse.
Yeah, there was a, that came from them trying to take themselves as a serious.
Yeah.
This is a, you know, talk about how society has become blah, blah. They tried to take themselves way too seriously. And that was part of what made it great is because it is. Just a terrible, terrible movie.
Because if you're
really.
Swayze, what was Swayze's background in it?
Didn't really.
Gyllenhaal's a former UFC guy.
Yeah, he was a professional bouncer.
Yeah, he wasn't
like this. He was just what he was. That was his job.
Yeah, and this, I mean, Gyllenhaal's a former UFC guy, fought for a title and all this, and so it seemed cooler when it was just Swayze as just a guy that. Learned how to fight, working in bars. He was just kind of an average dude. He wasn't a professional athlete like the Gyllenhaal character is.
It's in the Florida Keys, not backwoods Missouri.
Yeah.
You know. But it was, the original was like some indictment upon greed and corruption and It really wasn't. It was just, let's just watch Patrick Swayze kick ass for 2
exactly.
hours.
Exactly, and see Sam Elliott there, his long gray hair.
Right.
Because he was the old veteran bouncer guy.
But the fact they were trying to be so serious is what made it just so hilarious to watch. This one, I don't know if it's, hey, we're trying to be serious, but not really. It's what I'm worried about.
Yeah.
It's like the too much fourth wall breaking. It's like, look at how ridiculous this
is. Have you watched the trailer?
I've seen the trailer. I haven't sat down and like watched it. I've seen it come across in commercials.
There's parts where Gyllenhaal's kind of funny in it. He makes the occasional crack in it. And
right.
He also wants to play Batman now. He said he would love to play Batman. So we'll see what Jake Gyllenhaal.
Is the trailer like Anchorman 2, where all you needed from the movie was in the trailer?
I don't, because I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know. I can't. I've talked to a couple people this weekend that saw it and really liked it. So,
like, Awful Announcing has a review that says it's pretty decent if you don't take it too seriously.
Yeah, and nobody took the first one or shouldn't have taken it too seriously.
Except those in it.
All right, 9:46. Nuggets take on Memphis tonight. Coming off the win against Portland on Saturday, 114-111. Pretty impressive considering they didn't have Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. They sat it out. Reggie Jackson had 23 points. Aaron Gordon had 22 points, 12 rebounds. He had 7 Nuggets were in double figures after the game. Michael Malone, little post Malone, talking about a good win without the big guns playing in this one.
Anytime you can win a game without Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, especially on the road, you're always going to take that. Proud of our group for fighting through it. Wasn't easy. Give them credit. You know, they came out of halftime with a head of steam and got us on our heels. Down the stretch, obviously made enough plays to get the win.
Portland also had pretty much all their guys out, too. So
I had a 8-leg parlay set up on Sunday or Saturday. That one was the final leg, and it was going to be either Nuggets win and I win like $200, Nuggets lose and I don't get anything. So set it up early Saturday, and then a couple hours before tip off, I'm floating through the socials. It's like, oh, Nikola Jokic out, Jamal Murray out. I'm like, that's the only leg I need now. Then they ended up winning.
Well, you need to send a nice gift basket to Reggie Jackson.
I am going to have to.
So Denver's 14-2 since the All-Star break. Got Memphis tonight right here on the team. Pre-game at 6:30 for that one. 7 o'clock tip. And so right now, the battle for the top spot in the Western Conference. And right now you have the Nuggets with a half-game lead over the Thunder, game lead over the Timberwolves. As we've said, it's really a three-horse race. Clippers are 5.5 back. Mm. It's down to really those three teams. And so Oklahoma City won the season series over Denver, split their 4 games with Minnesota. Timberwolves and Thunder have pretty much identical division and conference records. Denver and Minnesota, they split their 2 matchups. Timberwolves have a decided edge in both the division and conference tiebreakers, but they play the Nuggets twice more coming up on Friday, then April 10th. And so does Denver need to have the number one seed to repeat as NBA champions? It kind of feels like you would like them to, because of the Ball Arena crowd, playing at altitude. But it also feels like this is a Nuggets team. They're not the number one seed. They can get it done as a 2 seed or a 3 seed with the way in particular they're playing right now.
I think for me, the place where they would have the most problem, they don't really have to worry about. Because I don't think they're going to fall to where they're going to have to go to L.A. to take on the Clippers.
No.
OKC, Minnesota, those are the other teams really that those are the ones that are in the
race
there.
They'll be 1 through 3. They'll be in one of those spots. They're not going to drop to 4.
I think they'll be okay.
I do,
going
too.
Going those two places. Now, if they do drop to 4 or whatever and push maybe the Lakers or the Clippers to 5, that could be an issue where they're going to have to play the Clippers right out of the gate. The Clippers playing pretty well. You know, I think depending on how their run through falls, I think the only problem they're going to have is if they end up taking on like the Celtics in the finals is where the home court is going to be an issue.
But as far as the Western Conference, because as far as the Western Conference playoffs go,
I don't
if they're 1 through 3, they're going to be just fine.
Yeah, I don't see it. If they play the way they've been since the All-Star break, they'll be fine.
Yeah. So you have seven teams right now that are trying to avoid dropping into play-in territory. Got the Mavericks. Mm-hmm. Got the Warriors. You got Houston. The Lakers. It seems like every year now it's the Lakers in the play-in. Just seems like that every year now.
Because they're not great.
New Orleans, Phoenix, and Sacramento. Remember with Phoenix? They were going to be the challengers in the West this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
But some of the moves they made. Sacramento was the darlings last year. Surprise team.
Yeah.
And those
I think the fact that by the end of the week, you'll have three teams in the West that have 50 wins. Like, even, like, the Lakers are seven games over 500, and they're in the nine spot. And they're 39 and 32. The West is ridiculous from, you know, 1 to 11 almost. But what happened to Memphis?
Ooh.
They won 51 games last year. And they have three guys that average over 20. Ja Morant's only been back 9 or 10 games.
Something like that, yeah.
You know, but like Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson Jr. the third, like they have some talent. Dylan Brooks was not that important.
And
Marcus Smart's there.
He's a good player. He's averaging almost 15 a game.
Man, I wouldn't say fading. He fell into anonymity after leaving Boston.
No kidding. It's like,
what happened to Memphis?
Right, that's right. He plays for them, doesn't he? It's one of those deals. Like, that's right. I forgot he plays there. All right, 9:51.
How can he be the fourth best player in Memphis?
But look where they're at right now with all that talent.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 9:51. It's time to open up the lid, hop in. It's garbage time.
We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
Oh, I love trash.
Are you got anything? Oh, do we ever, before we do this, I guess, do we get a winner for Wrigley Field?
Yes, we did.
Okay. Well, let's do that first.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
The Guru was first in the door identifying Wade Davis.
Remember Greg Holland set the record, mm-hmm. and then Wade Davis passed him. 43, by the way, is the Rockies' record for saves.
Yeah, fantastic.
All right, got anything you want to lead off with?
No, I've went and found watched the video of Keep Your Nasty Hands Off the Donuts, Charles and Ernie Johnson. It's still pretty funny.
As they like to say around here, with the Sweet 16 almost set, we are in the donut shop.
Yeah, man.
This is the brainchild of Deb Gelman.
Yes, it is.
I don't know where that's at, but it's still Keep Your Nasty Hand. This is great.
That is really good. All right, so text or call us. We've got a minute or two here if you want to text or call in. 970-242-1340. Let's see. We got going with Reese Davis.
Oh, I saw this. Yeah.
We got smacked around for calling gambling picks risk-free investment.
That's not a bright thing to say.
I just think you can't do that anymore. That ESPN Bet's Aaron Dolan was given advice on picks. And after Dolan finished her analysis, that's when Reese Davis praised it by calling her recommendation of betting the under on Northwestern's team total against UConn as a risk-free investment rather than gambling. I understand what he's trying to do there. He's trying to have some fun with it.
Right.
But it's gambling. And people who deal with gambling addiction, you don't need to lure people who are maybe new to gambling. Make them think, oh, this is risk-free. So I bet a ton of money on the under on it, and somehow that doesn't go my way, and I lose all this money. That's not risk-free. There is no risk-free.
No.
Are the odds in your favor? Yeah, absolutely. But it's still gambling. It's not like you're investing.
This is only partially Reese Davis thing. Probably should have choose better words, but he needs to know that there are people out there now that are professionally stupid. And it's what you just said, except it's malicious instead of being ignorant. I'm going to bet all, and then I'll sue Reese Davis because he said, hey, there's no risk here.
Yeah, what that guy told me, there was no risk to this.
there are people that are professionally stupid. Like, if you're gambling at all, you should know that all of it's a risk.
I can lose.
Yes.
Even if it looks like it's
no matter what Reese Davis says.
I can lose money.
But you have people that are professionally stupid, and that's where Reese needs to probably use better words.
And this is where there's the problem. I think, and was it Gus Johnson who made some comments on Fox about betting?
Mm-hmm.
I just, man, it's a different world. And for announcers who never had to deal with this before, and now you're being asked to by your company to talk about their particular betting platform, you just got to be careful how you pick your words. Like I said, nothing malicious meant by Reese Davis. He was trying to have some fun with it, but you just got to be careful because there are people who have lost a lot of money and their lives because of gambling. Simple as that.